Charita Svanan Kalo Ayang Bandata. Okay. Anybody wants to report meditation or any question? Yes. Pass the mic to our sister there. Any written question or not?
Brother Teo?
Yes.
Well, I started off my meditation by doing the mind sweeping twice. After that, I focused, just be mindful, be aware.
Mindful of the breathing.
My breathing.
Anapanasati.
Yes.
Okay.
And I could follow the breathing in, out,
okay.
In, out. After sometimes,
my
breathing becomes very, my mind was very still at that time. My breath more subtle. And then I could feel like joy.
Good. That is a spiritual joy they call piti.
Then
the mind become very, very like full of joy. Then if it's the first time, sometimes they experience it like it's a very nice meditative peace, rapture, they call rapture, you suddenly become, you feel very good.
Then my heart beating loud and then slowly, I just be aware of it.
Just stay there.
Stay there.
Do anything, stay there.
It stopped
because you cannot you cannot detect it.
Just be aware of my breathing. Then after some time,
next time don't be aware of your breathing.
Just
stay there.
Stay there. No, after that my mind suddenly I could feel that down to my heart. My breathing, so I just be aware of the breathing there, this area.
Oh, means the vibration there is not the breathing, huh? Your breath also can go there, because when you breathe deep, it's connected to your heart actually.
So after just the heartbeat was quite strong.
It come back.
And then I felt my whole body a bit like cool. And then I felt the goose pimples.
Good. Very good.
After that, my tears.
Come out.
Came down.
But actually, that is a form of pity, leading to sukha.
After that, just
You feel inside there like very blissful, very nice?
Yeah, very peaceful all the while.
Not peaceful, blissful.
Blissful, yes. And then my mind at that time was very calm.
Very
all
good.
The while until somebody switched on the light.
I switched on the light.
So what
happened when the light went on?
I just maintained the calmness, the peace.
It's okay, because what is important is this type of thing do happen. Understand? Sometimes you meditate, especially you do at home, then your son come into the room, pow, open the door, mom. If you don't have understanding, you would have reacted like normal meditator. I told you, mom, meditate. You don't knock on my door. You create anger. But those who understand, they will laugh. Yeah? These are like tests, understand or not? You can pass this test, then you are a really, really good meditator. Means you really understand the Dhamma, you understand the teaching. Because the world is the world, like I always say. Nature is nature. Human beings are just the way they are. You cannot stop them from making noise. Otherwise, this world will be too quiet. That's why you have vibration everywhere. Then phenomena like people switching on the light, suddenly down there chanting, very loud noise, then suddenly somebody dropped the cushion earlier on, pow. So these are conditions for you to actually test yourself, develop the understanding. Your meditation is to be done with understanding. Everything that arises comes through the senses, always remember. And they are conditioned arising. There is no reality. Who not happy? The thought not happy. Because you have this preconceived idea of what meditation should be. Especially they are so conditioned in certain tradition and practice. They put the sign with the finger first. You call this index finger on the mouth there. And they put down their noble silence. To me, that is not noble silence. That is don't talk. If you don't talk, it's okay. But your mind inside there chattering, you didn't talk. A lot of chattering going on. That is not noble silence. Noble silence is don't talk and no chattering. That is noble silence. So if you are so conditioned by the sign, you cannot tolerate noise. You cannot tolerate whatever people do. Then your meditation become what? Become intolerate. You got no what they call ability to tolerate the slightest noise or disturbance. And then that type of meditation is not what the Buddha teaches. What the Buddha teaches is you should go to tranquil setting where the condition is more conducive. But whatever that conducive condition is, that setting is bound to have problem, bound to have thing, bound to have interference. So under all circumstances, you supposed to develop the understanding. First time it disturbs you, yes. Then your silent mind will know how this mind arises, the aversion, the dislike. That's why you're supposed to have mindfulness to see that this mind has reacted, has stirred. Then you trace the origination factor through the senses. How come when I hear, I got this behavior? Or how come I see, I got this behavior? Or how come when I recall something, I fear, I got this behavior? This is what the Buddha meant by the fourth way. Trace the origination factor, then reflect and contemplate. Then retrospectively reverse your understanding. Okay? So, when I switch on the light, I know you're aware, but it disrupts your meditation already, understand? It's okay because it is part of the condition. So next time you should just laugh, smile, and so on. This is the reality, understand? Then you continue to relax into it. You accept whatever, understand? Because from the way you report, I meditated until everything was very good, isn't it? You went into calmness. Then after that, you can feel your heartbeat, the vibration. Because your awareness or sati become more clear already. Because you are more quiet, more silent. Then after that, you stay with it. Then this vibration, the heartbeat slow down. Until like no more heartbeat, sato. Which is a very good sign of progress. Then after that, you say, you go back to your breathing. It's okay. If you can detect your breathing there, then it's good and fine. Because subtle breathing also you can detect means your mindfulness has become more refined. But based on what you describe, if this is the first time you get it, not so fast. Because that silent mind, that whatever that you have developed, you need to stabilize it until it becomes very clear. Then even you think there is no more heartbeat or vibration, there is actually, you cannot feel it because your sati is not refined. It has not reached a level of refinement that can allow you to feel. Then you just relax into it and silence. If you want to go to other place, you can. Then when you locate your mind there, you can try whether you can feel the vibration there or not. If you can feel your heartbeat, you can feel vibration at other place. Anywhere within your body. Then you can be aware. You go to your abdomen, because last time you do rising, falling before. Now you do it this way, differently. You just silent and move it to the abdomen. Don't go and look for it like last time. Just silent, stay there. Aware. Understand? Then that phenomenon, or the abdomen rising and falling, you will detect it one. the awareness will detect it, the mindfulness. That time when you detect that one, you can report to me what happened. It's totally different from what you all do. You're noting one, rising point. The silent mind that go in one is totally different. That's why you can so fast develop the peace, the calmness. Then like goose pimple, you say goose pimple is actually a type of description for sukha. Sukha is a blissful state. Like there's a lot of tingling sensation. They're so blissful inside until, that bliss. But whatever it is, relax into it. The key advice is first support, relax into every mind state. Then allow it to be, then see what happens. After sukha, it will transform into pasati. Pasati is the real meditative mind. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Practically, the mind didn't move, stay there. That mind is fully aware without thought. It just stay there. Then later on, it becomes a spacious general awareness. You just silent and stay there, no center. This mind can stay anywhere. Then later on, when you're very stable, you go into daily mindfulness. You will become very surprised. For the first time, you realize, how come now you are so different? Everything you see, like the mind, the awareness, is with the phenomenon. Means your mind has entered sati. When your mind has entered sati, every seeing is mindful. Every hearing is mindful. Every smell, taste, tactile, and thought that move is the mindfulness is with it. That's why you see very clearly. And it's very different from ordinary or normal type of meditation. Normal meditation, thought-based, you cannot get it. You cannot do it. But when your mind enters sati, when it has paucity, it is still silent. That's why I can see all your movement is because my nature inside is silent. Then it has a general spacious awareness that it can be aware. While we are sharing all this, there are so many activity and movement, so many of them move. So your own physical activity, how many of you can be aware that you blink your eye? Seldom, isn't it? Once a while when you purposely, consciously want to be aware, maybe you can. But throughout the daily life, how many of you can be aware of your own blinking of your eye, turning of your hand, movement, activity, as you walk, as you turn, as you walk, then can follow your thought? Very rare. Most of you think a lot. So because of that, this meditation is very different. So what you went through is very good. I rejoice. We say sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because when you start to develop understanding, mind sweeping method can really help. Then you, do you combine with metta? No, you just do mind sweeping method. Good. Because you do two rounds, that's why you settle down very fast. Then after that, you do the anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and breath. Then this anapanasati become like, starts to form. Then after that, you feel the joy, the pity, the calmness. Then as you continue to relax into it and allow it to be that goose pimple thing, that sukha, that joy inside, that spiritual bliss, it starts to happen. But always remember, all these are part of the cultivation, byproduct of meditation. It will come. So you experience it, no problem. The only thing is, don't attach, like earlier on, the other lady, the report, because of the good meditation. Suddenly, the mind was full of thought. Then all of a sudden, the thought like missing. Then she settled down into stillness, silence. Then she becomes so peaceful. There was so much joy. Her first day cannot meditate, sleepy. Second day, this thing happened. So after that, what happened is the next sitting, she looked forward to that state. you will never get it. So you just allow it to be and just do. The key thing is not whether you can get that back that state or not. The key thing about meditation is what? Have you trained your mind to become mindful? Have you stabilized it? Can you use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to become heedful? If you can do that, you are destined for enlightenment. And so easy. Understand? So heedfulness is very important. But before you really can go into it, your spiritual faculty, sattā, virya, you must develop so that it can help you develop sati. Then after that, the sati will stabilize. The moment it stabilizes, it develops samadhi. Then sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are with clarity. Now, when you got sati, you got no thought. When you got samadhi, at the moment of sense experience, because it's collected and unwavering, it does not stir, it does not react. That's why you can see things clearly. Understand? And then wisdom arises. And when you have all these five spiritual faculty developed, stabilized, until it becomes powers, unshakable, then your meditation will progress very fast. Then wisdom keep on arising, because the hindrance will be at bay. Once the five spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance cannot come up. Okay? Very good. Thank you. Sadhu. Any other question? Yes. You pass the mic to her. Yeah. Push it out.
Then I was mindful of Anapanasati. Then I felt a lot of pain. After some time, I felt a lot of pain in my legs. What do I do?
That is the standard question. Yeah. What do I do? The other one is, what must I do? Meditation is not about asking this type of question, but it's okay, your first time. Excusable. You got a lot of cultivator, their problem is they want answer. When you want answer, means what? You don't want to find out. You don't want to investigate. Understand not? Because you don't want to recollect what the Buddha teach. Understand not? So if I equally gullible, I tell you, move and make yourself comfortable. Or note, pain, until it go away. And you gullibly believe me, you can do all these things. Understand? So what you need to do is, when you realize that this is a sensation that you don't like, and it's not like I explained just now, it's a distraction. Your mind cannot meditate anymore, isn't it? Because you label it pain, isn't it? You don't like that sensation, isn't it? So it's a hindrance. So it hinders you from becoming peaceful. Why? Because your mind is always drawn there, and it's not. That's why that monk say it's a distraction. You are distracted. You worry about this sensation. And you label it pain, means aversion, dislike. Understand not? You will. So you want to do it, push it away, or get rid of it. That's what normal meditators do. Then they go and control, suppress, and do a lot of funny meditation. Then they concentrate their mind until they don't want to feel. Then they numb all those things, using energy field and all that. I mean, you can do it, but it doesn't give you wisdom. Wisdom is you inquire, how come there is pain? Why initially when I sit, no pain? Then later on, why pain? Then why some people can sit very long? No pain. So that's why you must find out, you silence your mind. You don't react, you don't labor. You just be with it, like anger, understand? Be with it, silent, and relax into it. Then you find out what happened, and then you tell me. Understand? Not to say carry on. You have to meditate understanding. Understanding means what? I got a distraction. If I label it as pain, it becomes a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and aware. You cannot meditate. Then why you want to labor? So if you don't labor, then what did I advise you? Just relax and be with it. Silence that mind and you don't feel it. Understand? Feel. Then every time the tactile consciousness will come and tell you pain, pain, pain. Because you are so conditioned, you are labeling it. Understand? Then this is something you don't like, this sensation. So why can't you just accept this reality? There must be a reason behind all this. Why can't I just feel it, be with it, then I relax into it, and then I see what happened. And you find out, understand? You will be very surprised how it actually can transform. Because all this, I give you a hint, all this happened because the chi is not flowing, understand? You don't know how to relax into it, understand? And you are not familiar with that type of posture. Then maybe your age also you will add to it. So these are the possible reasons. So you have to find out for yourself. Then you find it very difficult to endure. Then you don't have to cross your leg. You go and sit on a chair, a couch, or just lean against the wall and stretch out. That's why I say you don't come here to torture yourself unnecessarily. You endure when you can. When you cannot, you just do what is best. Understand? Meditation can be done in any posture, not necessarily cross-legged like that. Understand? Although the Buddha did, or during that time, the monk cross-legged, because that was a tradition. Understand? That time, hardly find chair. Understand? During that time, even when I was in the younger days, 60s, I remember my house hardly got any chair. Understand? So sitting on the floor is very, very acceptable. My friend come, our relative come, most of them just sit on the floor. Then we play, we talk, we chat. Then most of the time, if you got a long bench, but short one, yeah, you sit on that bench. So to them at that time, that sitting was like very normal. Throughout the day, they sit. That's like, that is their natural posture. But our civilization has made it different. Oh, we got chair, we got comfortable chair, armchair. So we used to sit on chair. Then ask you to cross leg, you sure not familiar. Right? So initially you will have all this. But as you develop the endurance and the understanding, then you realize you can sit longer, you can sit longer. But in retreat, I can tell you, you can sit until you're scared of pain, you're scared of sitting. Because before your body can recover, you come in, you sit again, you cross your leg again. Then it can be very, very, very burdensome on your body. So if you are like your case is very elderly, you don't have to sit on the floor, cross leg like that. But you can endure, you endure it, then you find out it's good, actually. That's why I say you investigate into it, find out for yourself. Otherwise, every time I got problem, Brother, what must I do? How? You are asking for an answer you don't want to find out. Then you become gullible. Isn't it? Let's say I very prominent monk, yes, or I with the rope, then I got title, everything. Then you trust me. Then I say, okay, you do this. Then you just do this. But you never investigate. So you taken for a ride, go to Holland, come back, also you still don't know. Yes, so, no point. Everything they tell you, even the Buddha say, do not believe what he say also. Investigate into it. That's why there was one sutta, I remember, when he proclaimed a new understanding, that sutta. Then he asked Sariputta, do you agree? Sariputta answer in a negative. No? He said, no, I cannot agree. The other monk thought he very arrogant, no? The Buddha said, Sariputta is very wise, but he hasn't experienced it. He hasn't investigated into it, that's why he don't agree. That's not. Not until he investigate and sure, then he said, yeah, I agree. That is what it is. Otherwise, what? Because your teacher, authority, you dare not go against. Then he said, yeah, must be correct. Then you don't learn. That's not. You can only learn when you investigate into everything. Because the Buddha said the Dhamma is the truth. Truth will stand up to investigation. Understand not? truth is not scared of investigation. Okay? Okay, good. Yes, Pastor Selina.
For the last 2 days, when I sit the time, I always have the pain here. But then I'll try to, I'm follow your advice. Try to do the swim
method.
And today I did that. I told myself, I must strive for it.
Yeah, strive on the heedfulness. Means you want to develop it.
Just recognize the tightness of the leg.
Correct.
Until I can't stand it, then why should I stand in? This is not me. This body is not
correct.
Me.
Body is just a body element. You endure.
At least endure it, but then still cannot stand it. I decided to shift my leg.
Never mind. You can shift mindfully. You understand?
When
you are not ready, don't be a hero. Don't torture yourself unnecessarily. But I should share with you all one incident that was many, many years ago when I was attending the 8th precept by my teacher Achayantra. He was conducting this 8th precept at Brickfield. Then I listened attentively to his Dhamma sharing, and I can feel his energy, and I can feel his Dhamma. So I listen attentively. Then I only need people to tell me some truth. So he very good. He said, always remember, body is just a body. Mind is mind. M-I-N-D, not M-I-N-E. Your mind is mind. Then body never the mind never the body. He choose take care of mind. He just say like that. Then after that, he said mind is more important. Then he continued with it. Body important too, because it has to harmonize with the mind to allow you to cultivate and develop the cultivation. Then I was full of joy. For the first time, somebody can tell me about the body and mind. And what is this mind all about? So after that, when we start our meditation, then as usual, the pain will come. Then I make determination. I say, okay, I want to develop the understanding. I remember the Buddha before his last sitting, before he became Samasambuddha. He make the aspiration. He say, even when this body dry up with the blood, everything, or I don't know how to describe it, he will not arise from there until he is really enlightened. Oh, he made that determination. But he did it because he saw the sign. So according to the sutta, after Sujata offered the milk rice, I think he rejoiced. Then he made aspiration. He said it is meant to be for him to be enlightened. Let this bowl float upstream. Then he released it on the river. It really went upstream. That's why he knew something will happen. That's why he made the aspiration and all. Then he said. Then he became fully enlightened. Then that time for me, I also determined because I heard Achayantra say, body is only a body, mind is mind. So I believe him, I trust him, I have faith. Then I realized, I said, mind is mind, body is body. So I'm going to sit through it. I'm going to adhere. Then at one point, the thought came in. He said, you someone want to sit, you can get yourself paralyzed, because the pain was so severe. Then that time, my mindfulness quite strong. I can just relax into it. But it keep on coming, the tactile consciousness. And then the thought comes. He said, you can paralyze. Then you know what that nature say? Paralyze. Cannot walk also, never mind. As long as I want to develop the understanding. Then you know what happened. I just silent and I just endure. Oh, it really reached a peak. then just at that moment when you think, you really cannot really, you just relax into it only. The next moment, I was also completely surprised. That thing just flashes through, then my whole mind, brightness, white light, just sweep through like that. No? Then like a shift of consciousness. No? Then I was so amazed, no, after that, that awareness, the mindfulness becomes so bright and so strong. No? Then I can see the whole phenomenon, no? That place where the pain is. No? Then I can see the mind that is aware of it is different from that phenomena. No word or no, no label, nothing or no. Then that tactile thing, that movement, no word or no, you can. Then I realize, because there is a constriction there, the chi didn't flow, understand not? Then the moment I aware, then I saw it flowing. No? Then, how come like that? At first, I don't believe. No. I said, cannot be. It was so painful just before this. Then I become very brave. No. I go down and investigate. No. That's why I saw everything. I saw everything. Then I tell myself, oh, this is beautiful. Then for the first time, there was so much joy inside there. No. Then from that day onward until today, I got no more problem with pain. That's how you break through. And this is the real first jnana, not jhana, jnana. Nama rupa pariceda jnana, the first jnana, able to discern clearly between form and mind. Form is form, mind is mind. That is the real one. Then you can see the mind as the mind, the rupa, the form as the form. The two are separate. That's why the Buddha said, when your body is sick, your mind need not be sick. And that is the true meaning. Then you can discern. Then after that, you will see a lot of things. The interdependent, dependent origination. Then how the condition arising, or the various type of jnana, you will start to see them. Because you have mindfulness. Your mind has this ability to be aware. No thought, no word, no concept, just aware. Okay? So you can shift, no problem. Because first time, during the early day, I also shift. They teach me like that. No, I show you. You know, the no Burmese style or the no what style. Is it like that? Slowly turn to the back. Lady style or sitting. Then you put yourself like that. Oh, then you feel relief. Oh, see. Like Selena said, after that, can see. It's okay. You are not here to torture yourself unnecessarily. Oh, definitely. That's why whatever posture that you are not used to, what happened? Well, it's the first time you do it. And then you develop uncomfortableness. Understand? Not? So you have to adjust. You have to actually find out which is the best posture. Understand? Not? Best for you. That's why last time when I started, a lot of people tell me, even the monk suggests, you cannot do full lotus. I try. I say, what the hell? Posture. I tell you, my leg will break because my leg is so stiff. You ask me to do half lotus, maybe. Then I don't care. I just cross my leg like that. Understand? Then I realize later on, it's like a tripod down there. I can balance it. Understand? Two support in front. Then the buttock at the back. Understand? So the only difference between full lotus is full lotus when you this one go up, this one become the support. Understand? Mine cannot touch ground. Then this one cannot pull up. So I cannot do full lotus. So what I do is it's supposed to be more stable unless you do yoga and very flexible. Then what I do like that is my this one becomes support. Understand? But the pressure again it will give you the pain. And then I realize it's like a tripod. If I lean back a bit, I relieve the pressure in front. Anasana. Then if the buttock too painful, then I lean in front a bit. Anasana. And then you adjust and find out yourself. Then you just relax. Well, whatever thing you do after a long time, it should have problem. Anasana. Even in the hospital, those who got this, what they call old people, they cannot walk, especially stroke patient, they are forced to lie in the bed. You know what happened? Too long, the skin also damaged, you know. Damaged, you know, and very difficult to heal. Big sore. Oh, I don't know that word very good. Are you the medical profession? Not nursing. Oh, your hospice, very good. I heard a lot of people tell me, they pity the mother and the grandmother. That skin, he said, we are too long on the bed. So everything you have to find out, because this form go the way of nature, then don't try to be a hero. Then for me, I don't need to really sit anymore. So for me, if I like to sit, I sit. If I don't like to sit, I just do what I want to do. But because I'm sharing with you, that's why I sit. And you have been seeing me sitting for so long. Sometimes I teach Tuesday class, Thursday class, 2 hours, they see me sit down there. Then Wu Ping Jing said 3 hours. I sit through the whole thing. Yeah. Why I can sit? Not to say I got special power or hero. No. I understand the form. I know how to relax in it. But I cannot promise you that this form will become, as it age, it will start to become less and less efficient. Even you play game and badminton, you know. Well, last time when you young, one night, overnight you sleep, next day you can play again. Now, you stop, let's say, for a while didn't play, then suddenly you go and play. Next day, ache here, ache there. 1 week also cannot recover. Last time, one day, recover already. That's why the body, when it's young, and is no longer young, you have to accept this is the reality. That's why the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, decay, fall sick and die. For it has not gone beyond all these things. So this is to develop the contemplative wisdom so that you are not deluded by it. So that you don't go and attach and cling onto it. Because body is just a body, element only. It will go the way of nature. If you understand that reality, then you will be at peace. Then you will not complain when you grow old. When certain organs and parts start to fail you, understand? Now this brings me to one part that I want to share with you about karma. Why you don't take care of karma, your body become problem. Then your life become problem. You turn to page 37. Just now I was in my room resting, then I suddenly flicked, I saw this page. Part 2, Heart Sutta, Lesson 9. This one is Mahayana teaching, which is quite good. It's from Xuanhua's commentary. But I explain it in more detail, because in the commentary you read, you couldn't quite understand. Page 37. Everybody got a page? Be aware of the 3 type of karmic obstacle. Just now you chant, you remember? You exert the power of truth because you take refuge in the triple gem. And because of that, it will bring forth the condition for all obstacles to go. So these are the 3 types of karmic obstacles. And according to Master Xuanhua, eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. That is, doing away with the 3 types of obstacles. The retribution obstacle, the activity obstacle, and the affliction obstacle. These are the 3 types of karmic obstacles. They call karmic obstruction. So Heart Sutta is very powerful. When you penetrate Heart Sutta, you can eradicate this obstacle, which is very true. Because only wisdom can overcome all this. Without wisdom, you cannot overcome. Then most of the time is, when you understand that Heart Sutta, you penetrate, means You already understood the Dhamma long before that. Then you know how to take care of your karma, karmic nature, everything. That's why you become beautiful. So now I read to you, retribution obstacle. The Mahayana teaching say there are two types. Primary retribution. You know what is retribution? Yeah? Through karmic, you pay back, like your debt. Implies karmically conditioned physical body, like the type of DNA coding and physical appearance. Understand not? If you want to be born fair complexion, pretty, long life, with a lot of joy and happiness, what must you do? Pay respect to the elders and worthy ones. Those people who are worthy of respect. Then the Buddha said, four things grow. Ayu, wana, sukang, palang. That's not. What is ayu? Ayu is long life. Wana, fair complexion. Sukang, happiness. Palang, strength. Both spiritual and physical strength. So whether you are born pretty, handsome, ugly, with good organ, with a lot of DNA coding, that's why you get cancer, all those things. A lot to do with karma. You do a lot of killing and all those things. Then the cancer cell will be there. They are all coated when you come. So primary retribution, you cannot do anything. Understand? It comes with karma. Then dependent retribution, what is it? Implies karmically conditioned living condition or your materialistic inheritance. That is, whether you are born poor or born rich, and where are you born into? You don't have a choice because it's dependent retribution. But who you marry to, you do have a choice. You marry the wrong one, I tell you, equally miserable. Because there are some that come and demand their karmic debt. Yes or not? Last time you do all those funny things to people, and now they come back, they demand their debt. So when there is condition, all this will manifest. So dependent retribution is because your karma is like that. Yes or not? Like last time when you become parent, just like I explained, you simply scold your children. You very, very authoritative, demanding. And then you neglect your duty. You every time get angry. Then you do a lot of funny things. Then you didn't do your duty well. So what happened is, dependent obstacle or retribution, you will be born into a family where the parents also like that one. Do all this to you. Then because you have such negative karma, because you're very stingy, very greedy, not generous, you don't have that parami. So the children that follow you also have to experience all this poor condition. Then because of that, you get angry and you react. So in future, you will continue to have parents who is like that one, treat you back the same way. Understand? You got poor parents who cannot afford, also get angry and do this to you. So even when you are very poor, please, do tell yourself, all this is because of karma, like the Buddha said, you are born of it, had to eat conditions, and you are what you are because of it. So understand that right view, then tell yourself, ask for forgiveness, never to do that again. Then now, I reap what I sow, I will do my duty, I will sacrifice for them, I will care for them, I will provide for them, I will do my duty as a parent. Then in future, you got good parents who will do this for you, understand not? Some parents, they can just sacrifice their whole life saving to send their children overseas for education. Oh, this is the power of sacrifice, understand? Because the love for their children. And then, in future, you will have parents who will sacrifice for you as well. Oh, all their life saving, they're willing to take it out. Then they say, don't worry, we will still have enough. You take this first. Well, actually, they borrow money and send you overseas, so you don't know. Understand? So karma is like that. You must have gratitude towards your parents. then you have children who are very good, who has gratitude towards you. Then when you have children who actually quarrel with you, don't take care of you, don't respect you, then you get very angry. You say, how come? How can my children do this to me? I sacrifice for them, I do this for them, I provide for them, now they neglect. They have their wife and their own family, they don't want me. I'm old, haggard and useless. If you think like that, then you will become miserable. But if you, let's say, understand the Buddha's teaching, first right view, law of karma, then you reflect, like the Buddha said, whatever that happened, there are causes and conditions. Means in certain life, you must have neglected your parents. You must have done something like your son. Marry already, beautiful wife, family more important. Then the usual reason is that we've got so many brothers and sisters. The wife will tell, I say, why can't that brother take care? Why must you go and take care? Then the husband, my mother, no, we don't. Eat also not enough, you someone. Then you have to give in. And a lot of these children, there is a saying, one mother can give birth to 9 and 10 or 12 children, but 12 children cannot look after one parent. You're nobody who wants passing around. I'm not saying everyone do that, no. It's only those who don't understand. Then they become heedless and they thought, we are selfish. But in future, you end up as parent with those children passing you around. Then they send you old folks home. Because you send your parents to old folks home. Not to say you cannot. Nowadays, very, very different. The old folks home are very well equipped. That's why you make it a point to find out. So that the nursing care, everything is there. Then it is nothing wrong to send them to this type of care. But do visit them. Do feel for them. Because they give you life. They care for you. They sacrifice for you. They provide for you. They are your parents. Understand? And that is coming. The law of karma recognizes relationship. So all this you will learn as you develop the Dhamma understanding. Okay? Then we go on. The second one is activity obstacle. What is activity obstacle? Activity obstacle implies karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Understand? Like you go to office, you have a lot of karmic obstruction while working and living your life. Your boss also not friendly, your colleague also not friendly. Your last time you also not friendly to people. Understand? So this one is activity. Whatever activity you do, your life, your career, your relationship, everything. So activity, obstacle, born of karma, is karmic in what they call in nature. So karmic means whatever you do to people, you reap what you sow. So you cannot blame people. Why like that? Brother Song not here. Later he come. That day he shared with us. He said his office, Got one guy, one colleague, I think. He don't want to talk to you. He just like don't want to respond. Then he find it so difficult to work with him and communicate with him. Then he realized, last time he also did that to another person. The mother, he said, the mother, I forgot who were you. He did that to the mother. Then immediately he cannot. Yeah, the mother talk to him, he don't want to reply. Everything he don't want to respond. Then he go off, he kena. Then last time my father also say, because he loved me so much. Every day, normally our small town with 9 o'clock, 9 PM we sleep on. Then I normally after I close the shop, I help to close the shop. Then I will study until 10 o'clock, then I sleep. Then my father know I am one of the potential who can study. So he purposely wait for me to like about 9:30. He will come and ask me, you want to drink this or not? You want to drink that? Then I normally don't like to burden my father or my parents. I said, never mind. But he still go and make. He make, then he put in front. this is Milo. Then for me, I don't want to burden him. And so, then you know, like as a kid, I told you I don't want. Huh? So you reacted and so, instead of grateful, because it's a natural tendency as a kid. And you know what happened? You ask my wife, I kena from my son. He said that they told you, don't want Miss Donut, don't put the thing there. You ask my wife. He told me the same thing. Then I laughed. I said, okay. Understood. Message understood. Because sometimes we eat together. Then we take the veggie for him. He don't like or no. He said, if I want, I will tell you I want. He said, you don't do this more. And he also finds that he know not right to say like that to us. No. Then he said, I hope you understand this. You ask my wife. Then my wife also know, scared. Sometimes he said, my wife also dare not give him things. So anything also, must ask him permission. No. Then you want to have dinner appointment, you must alert him early. No. Otherwise, he don't like last minute. No. He tell you, not like that one. So last minute tell me got dinner. He has his own plan. So when he do this, if he has children, his children. And this is kind of immediate one. You don't play a fool. I saw how my father and my grandmother, because of one incident, my dad actually couldn't do anything. In the olden day, the grandmother, my grandmother, which is his mother, he's like the head of the family, and my father cannot do anything. So something happened between my grandmother and my mother. There's a misunderstanding. That time I was very young, I don't know. So my grandmother got so angry because they're so authoritative, chased my mother out. No? And the worst is he used a broom to chase her out. No? Wow, my father cannot take it. No? My father couldn't do anything. No? Then you know what happened? After that day, my father didn't talk to my grandmother. And for 20 years, my grandmother remembered. And before she died, he talked to me and my mother. He said, what happened to me? How come my son, my father was her elder son, refused to talk to me for 20 years? She didn't know that her drastic action created the condition. So what happened was, my father was the elder son. So later on, after my grandmother passed away, then my father and mother, very happy, go China tour. Then like my father used to send money to help them. Then he bought this shop lot, want to help my uncle, my father's side on, the children all come out so that they got better opportunity. So he bought the shop house. Then my mother go back China every time. My father didn't follow her, we were busy. Then my mother go back, he actually follow my father's instruction, buy for them, tell the uncle and all those things, say, you all can come down. But they all kampong people in the remote area, they dare not come out and try. Understand? So what happened is, my mother side on, you got the shop lot, nobody use, what a waste. So they come and use. Then my mother dare not let my father know. Then when my father follow her back to China, the whole thing around. And that time they are 60 over years old. My father was so angry until he wanted to divorce my mother. I tell you, we all laugh like anything. Come back. Then when we heard about the story, we know, well, my father, he's very authoritative. When it comes to this thing, he never forgive him. Then we know, not right. Then he refused to talk to my mother. No. My mother was so angry. He said, eat until chit lao, pei lao, let's just like gong li. He said, children also me. Then my mother said, forget about it. He come now to my eldest brother's shop there. Like stay with him. Then together there. Then every time I go home, I will visit my father first. Then only I go down to my eldest brother's shop. That day, come on. He not around. I look around, not around. Then I said, never mind. I tell my wife, my children, we go down to my brother's shop. Then when we were there, my mother was there, you know. Then my elder brother, he know I like to go to Thailand Hap Jai, you know. He said, hey, can we go Hap Jai? He said, I said, now? He said, yes. Then my mother heard, you know, yeah, we go Hap Jai. He said, so we went, you know. So my father didn't know, you know. Then later he know, we take the mother there, you know. So he thought we all side the mother, you know. Why are you so angry? He refused to talk to my elder brother, you know. Also the first elder son. Same karma. Then I warned him. I said, you want to kena the same karma, you continue to refuse to talk. Or then only later on, I told my elder brother, I said, you give in. You go and apologize. But he's still our father. But then after that only become amico. That one luckily lasts for 1 year. I tell you, you don't play a fool. It will create condition for it to happen. That's why you can say it's immediate. And I saw all this. So it's for you to see. And my son that time was very young. I tried to talk to my father. No way. Then my son told me, daddy, no condition. So young. Yeah, he saw my father kill on, cannot agree on. What you say also no use. I say, come on. I say, you all have been great parents, take care of all. I say, now because of this slight thing, you want to like that. Then you know what solution I try to offer to my mother. I said, don't worry, how much it costs? Buy another short lot, we help you to pay. Yeah? Then after that, settle. Give back one to them, then you take one, your side. So my mother, he illiterate, asked somebody to write letter, ask them to buy. Actually buy already, we send money. My father still very angry. He don't believe, you ain't got money, he said. Oh. Definitely not your money. Your children give you. Like that also will be tahan. So, when the mind is like that without Dhamma, because of that thought, that idea, that anger, the unhappiness, because my father felt betrayed, cheated, not told to him. But he is a puttajana, that's why he become like that. So you don't ever allow that thought to create this type of karmic thing. Because you reap what you sow, so you don't play a fool. So this one understood, activity karma. The last one is what? Affliction obstacle. This one, you have to be careful. Affliction obstacle imply karmically conditioned, means through your karma, you reap what you sow. Karmically conditioned affliction caused by your heedlessness in life. That is whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you like the wheel that follow the hood. This is Dhammapada verse 1. Very good. Dhammapada verse 1. So this one is affliction obstacle, understand not? If you act, speak, and think with a wicked mind, with the evil root, you sure kena kau kau. So that's why when you are born into this world, the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, head of your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So what you do, action, speech, and thought, you follow Dhammapada verse 1, you sure kena. That's why suffering will follow you. This is affliction karma. So understand, if you want to be happy, what must you do? Yeah? Then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the three evil roots. With a pure mind, wholesome mind. Then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. And this is Dhammapada verse 2. Will then take its course. So don't blame anybody for your affliction. For according to the Buddha, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness, for you reap what you sow. Now you understand, Understand, No response, What you do to others, karmically it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. Always remember, the absence of evil is good. So don't try to do good. Don't try to be good. But instead, just train your mind to be heedful or mindful so that you are incapable of evil. Then naturally, you are good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have no evil, but only wisdom and virtue. You understand this paragraph or not, this statement? Why I say don't try to be good? Don't try to do good. Huh? Why? Ah, very good. Good according to you, understand? Your good may not be the real good, understand? You're selfish, understand? Whatever they have advantage, favorable, oh, good, this is good, understand? Oh, I do good, understand? I pamper my children, I do good, understand? I want them to have good life, but you spoil them, understand? Then you don't know. That's why they call in Cantonese, Yi Sai Zhou. Then later you born into a rich family, you know. Oh, they also do good, pamper you, until you also become like Yi Sai Zhou like that. Then you reap what you sow. But this is how you raise your kid, understand? Everything also money, understand? Then give them the best. Oh, don't worry, don't cry. What you want? Oh, okay, this one. Then they become dependent, understand? Then they become a problem. Because they are not independent. They cannot earn their own living. And they don't understand. And all this wealth, they will ruin. It's like the Chinese tradition, they have this saying, your wealth will not last 3 generations. You know why not? First generation work very hard. Because you are first generation kid. My parents, when they come, they got nothing. My father told me, he said, one short pen, one string. That time, no belt, one string. Then, one or two pair of shirt or clothing on it. They came like empty-handed, follow the British ship from China. And then they had to work for people, they had to survive. Our first generation so hardworking. Then after that, we are second generation, more lucky. Then my father, very good. He know education very important. He stressed on education, he stressed on citizenship. That's why our family came up. Then I second generation, but not the Yi Sai Zhou type. Because second generation don't have strong family wealth and all those things. Well, I got 9 brothers and sisters. Actually, not easy to take care of all. So you have to actually, like first generation, came down to PJ, no support, nothing. Everything start from scratch. But we survive, understand? Because we are like first generation kid when we come to PJ. That's why we survive. We know how to handle things. We know how to do things. Then we learn everything from ourselves. But nowadays, kids, with the maid around, how to wash shoe also don't know. Where to find their thing also don't know. Got nice car to drive, how to renew road tech also don't know. How to pay insurance also don't know. Everything father accounting, mother accounting. So it becomes like that. Not to say good or bad, but this is what you did to them, and they don't have survival skill. And then very easily they get into problem, depression. Then they go and work. Because they are so used to the money you give them. Now gradually you don't want to give money, you ask them to go and work. Then 1 month salary only, starting pay how much? 3,000? 2,000? Not enough to pay credit card now. So how? The parent got to subsidize. Then they don't like to work. I say, you work for what? Cannot even pay my credit card. That's not that. So you have this type of problem with second generation kids. So a lot of this has to do with karma. Then you need to understand. Okay, we go on. So you understand, don't try to do good. Because Krishnamurti also very wise. The Buddha also very wise. When you avoid all evil, you are incapable of evil, then you are naturally good. Correct or not? Correct or not? Because you avoid all evil, you are not capable of evil. That's why you're naturally good. But if you try to be good, good according to you may not be the real good. You're selfish good. You never ask good according to who. Krishnamurti lagi best. He said the absence of evil is good. Correct or not? So he said, don't try to do good. Make sure you very, very, he didn't use the word mindful or heedful. He said, you make sure you're very aware. that you are incapable of evil, is it? Then you have to understand what constitutes evil. No? He never defined, no? But the Buddha defined, no? The three evil root. When you have them, it constitutes evil. It makes you evil. That's why it's called evil root. But Krishnamurti, he don't have a teaching like that. He just say, what you will not do to yourself, you cannot do to others. We have to him. Every human being is a living entity. You cannot harm, you cannot kill, you cannot do all these selfish things. Because he has wisdom. And he knows that this thing you cannot violate one. So that's why when you have the Dhamma, you actually will know how to live life. You will understand life clearly. And you will not do all these selfish things, foolish things, deluded things. Okay, that's about all. What's the time now? We got 12 minutes. After that, we are going to do the chanting. You got any more questions or reporting or not? Anybody wants to ask anything? Any written question? Good. Pamasuri share. Pass the mic over.
I think it's time to share.
Sadhu.
Just like yesterday, Brother Teo, you told me to say, to be grateful and thankful to to the beings that had helped me. So last night I went back, I thanked them. But this Dhamma float up. I use the word float.
Very good.
Float up in my mind.
I know.
The Dhamma is to be realized by the wise.
Each for themselves. Very good one.
So last night I slept very well.
Yeah, very good. So they didn't dare to disturb her with the energy anymore. Because first 2 days, so much energy. Where they want to help us. That's why a few get all this. But to them, they think, help you. They are very sincere. So that's why I say you must thank them. Have gratitude towards them. Then when you do that, actually they acknowledge, but you must have a reason. Or then, that Dhamma flowed up. No? Because this one is from the salutation to the Dhamma. No? This Dhamma is to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No? So you can help, but not this way. Support to give condition for it to arrive. Then they didn't disturb her.
Yeah, so the story continues.
Good, okay.
That's why I want to share. So this morning I was quite peaceful, I can meditate. But just now, 7, I was trying to sit here and I want to break through the pain because I've been bowing and then it was very painful. But somehow, I really cannot stand the pain. So I stand up, I walk back to the original seat that last night happened.
Yeah.
So I was very calm and the energy came again. I was in that state also.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a motorbike pass by.
Correct.
The motorbike passed by. Then I can see my thought coming up. Float up. But another thought trying to come out, I said, thought arising.
That is your awareness.
The awareness card says thought arising.
That's why when you are mindful, you will know one. Sankara.
It's the sankara that arises. So, that is a thought. This awareness, before you say I thought, is also a thought.
Yes.
Because I try to suppress that thought.
You don't. You do that, you will not go away. But the moment you're aware, then you don't do all those foolish things anymore. Then you allow it to be.
So I saw this thought arising and this side the thought also arising.
It's not thought, this one is the awareness. Because when you have cultivated, developed the understanding, especially through your contemplative wisdom, This awareness will come and help you. It's your good friend. Asana, it alert you. It make you aware that this habitual tendency, this defilement, this negativity surface away. The thought come through back door already or whatever. Then you will be aware. Asana, oh, very good. It's not another thought. It's
I
the awareness.
It's another thought.
No, it's an awareness.
Automatically, I come back to the heart.
Yeah.
And
then you silent.
I silent and I can still feel the energy.
Yeah.
Until you think that I slowly can come out.
You come out. Okay, very good. Because the first night also same, this energy was so strong. According to her, she reported. Later on, she come and sit. Then she's silent. Now, the moment she's silent, all the energy melt inside, pow, went in. Then peaceful again. Then after that, you will release a lot of a lot of gas will be released out. Because this pure energy, when it goes in, it will become a byproduct. The byproduct is the gaseous. I remember last time when I went into the gateway, the thought doesn't interfere. That's why the last support is trust. Trust, you allow the nature to do. No interference of thought. You don't go and direct the energy. You don't go and do anything. You let it melt inside. Then after that, because this is really intelligent, it's your true nature. Then through that trust, it will know which are the chakra or nadi that you need to open. It need to actually help to activate it. So that's why it will flow on. This pure energy that come out, it will go to various parts. Then I can see through the awareness how it went in there, then how it formed gas as a byproduct, then how it continued to release it out. And the releasing is fully aware on. Understand? Not like a lot of people know mindfulness at all. That's why answer nature's call. You have to be fully aware. Then when you are aware, you do it with understanding and awareness. And no smell. Very funny. No smell. So all these are part and parcel of what the meditation is all about. How it happens. But if you don't go through, you can never know. You'll never understand. So a lot of cultivator who has developed it correctly, they can share with you the same experience. Understand? If it's only I alone can do and nobody can do, then something is wrong with that. Understand? So if it's the same instruction, the correct teaching from the Buddha's time, we at that time so many arahant, understand? So many enlightened beings. But how come after 2,000 over years, you even heard about people saying or the books telling you, you can't even find a sotapan now. It's very difficult to even meet a sotapan. Why is it this way? It means all the teaching that has been passed down is no longer the authentic, original teaching. That's why it cannot transform living beings. But if it still has that understanding and the what they call appropriate teaching, then it will be. Maybe not exactly like the Buddha's time, because the Buddha is a Samasambuddha. But that Dhamma, if it's the same one, it will have power to actually enlighten living being. Because Dhamma is Dhamma. So all this, when you understand, then you do with understanding, you progress very fast. But if you don't understand, and you go and do, and become gullible, then you end up like most of you are doing. Because I come across all this, well, during the early days when I went for retreat and I listened to Dhamma talk, then I realized most of this, I don't know, my nature like it know, it's not what I was looking for, it's not what I'm searching for, not what I wanted. Because I realized the teaching not like that one. And later on I met the true teacher, the true monk. Then when the book came, the first one is Master Sun Ho, I took refuge, whole family. Then the Surangama Sutta, all the various Mahayana Sutta, I don't know them one. I never exposed to them one. The book start to come, no? English translation. No? My brother went US for training. He's an electrical engineer. Then I said, you go there. Oh, you buy all the books. So I remember I paid him $1,000 over $2,000, no, to buy back all the English translation. Then surprisingly, when I read, I understand. Like these are familiar teaching. Nobody taught me Mahayana, I tell you. I just read from book. Then I listened to Dhamma talk from Master Xuanhua. That That's how I started. Then later on, I met other monks, Ajahn Yantra and other things. Then I went to Thailand, Mahabowa. Then Ajahn Chah's book and other things. Then Long Po Thet and many other good monks. So these are the affinity that you have. Mahabowa was very, very unique also, very, very good affinity. So that one I have spoken long time ago, so no need to repeat here. So all these are the condition behind. So when you meet all these good teacher who has the teaching, that's why I like the Thai tradition. Then I went to China. China one was the most effective. Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then I also went to Chiu Hua San, Tizang Wang Fusa, and Wu Tai San, Manjusri. Those three were beautiful. Then Puto San. So all these way place. Then the last year, recently, is Hermes San present. So these four great bodhisattvas has a great affinity with my nature too. So that's why it will go there and it know how to actually see the condition and understand the condition behind. Then it will agree to organize those three. And I didn't do anything. The Kayamita helped to plan everything. Yun Chan, you should thank Yun Chan. She always helped to plan. Then this time, Puto San is Yun Chan together with Padman Suri. We are going in September. Okay, 9 o'clock, we should end. Sadhu, we thank Padman Suri for the sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, where is Engbi? You come. We will invoke the invitation, invocation of the Deva. Then Padma Suri and Engbi and those who know how to chant, you can chant together. Is it that sheet that you gave out that day? Is this the one? Mahaya. Mahajaya.